The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 710. It's the 14th of February, 2017. Hey, Valentine's Day. On the podcast today, I have Rob Proctor, CEO of Audioboom. Ticker, boom! Gives an update on their progress ahead of full-year results, which shouldn't be too long. I think start of next month, maybe. Also on the podcast, Dave Reeves, Managing Director of Keras Resources, that's KRS, talks about their initial high-grade resource at their Copenhagen deposit. Plus, I also have Russ Mould, Investment Director at stockbroker AJ Bell, talks about the following stocks: Parity Group, that's PTY, Hurricane Energy, HUR, and Manx Telecom, MANX. Plus, today's suggested one for your watch list is Anglesey Mining. That's AYM, submitted by KF5000. Thanks so much, KF. Don't forget, everything here in this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It's just information on which to base your research. I hope that helps there. And also, as always, I have the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, and the top five most liked RNSs on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Rob Proctor, CEO of Audioboom. Ticker there is B-O-O-M, boom. Rob, thanks for coming back on.
Good morning, Justin. Hope you're well.
Yeah, I thought it's not far off from your final year results, about less than a month away, I suppose, is it?
Yeah, I mean, they should be out pretty soon. I know the guys at Hayes Mac, our auditors, are just finishing up right now. I guess it's probably a few weeks. I mean, everything's always a process. But no, as soon as we have them, we'll put them out to the market.
Marvellous stuff. And just for people not aware of Audioboom, just in a nutshell, Rob, what's it all about?
We're an audio-on-demand podcast platform. So we allow podcast creators, audio creators, literally to do everything on the value chain of audio. So you can create, upload, store, distribute, syndicate, and then obviously monetize through in-read advertising, which we sell on behalf of our podcasters, or programmatically, so pre, mid, and post-roll advertising that we deliver through the ad servers. And then we revenue share with the podcasters. So hopefully getting kind of economies of scale by aggregating the podcasters together, and then getting decent CPMs. Obviously, if you're a single podcaster trying to go and sell it on your own, one, you probably don't have the time, but it's also harder to do.
Yeah, okay. And the last bit of news, I suppose, that was significant was the completion of the acquisition of Sonar. How will this, so explain how this will help Audioboom going forward, Rob?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we currently use third-party ad-serving platforms, and obviously there's a cost of that ad-serving. Where we're looking at our inventory levels growing through this year, as obviously as they did through last year and the year before, they're going to grow exponentially quicker now because we've got our new ad insertion tool. So, where we used to have a podcast to run pre and post roll, with our new tool, we can put ad insertion points through the podcast as well. So, you know, something like a 11, which is an hour and 20 minute show, we would have only run two adverts previously. We can now drop in, you know, another 5 30-second adverts through the life of that show. So, you know, it doesn't take a lot of working out to see that our inventory is going to grow exponentially this year, which is great. But what that does mean is that our ad serving costs will go up dramatically because obviously our inventory's gone up dramatically. So to offset this, and, you know, obviously the only sensible approach, or two approaches really, one is to go and renegotiate those ad serving costs, which we have. So we've halved ad serving costs in the last 3 months with our suppliers. Also talk to our bandwidth suppliers because obviously we're moving a lot more files. So our bandwidth costs have gone from 3 cents down to 1.5 cents in the last month. So we've done that as well, which is great. But in certain senses, that's a short-term measure because you still have that outlying cost of ad serving. So the key for us is to build our own ad servers, not only to reduce costs. I mean, you know, our ad serving cost in 18, you know, could be as high as £1.5 million. Mm-hmm. You know, so if the inventory grows that way. Now, obviously, you know, if we build our own ad servers and run them ourselves, I mean, our costs are fractions of that. So, you know, big cost savings. But also it's reliability. You know, we've used all of the best ad servers in the market, and none of them are particularly reliable or scalable. You know, yeah. Our last ad serving partner, when we brought Sky onto the platform, literally crashed their systems for 2 weeks just because we had so much volume. So again, for us, when we look to do our modeling, we can't have outages like that. So reliability, massive for us. And the last one, and probably, I guess, for our shareholders, like the long-term value of this, is creating our own IP. Yeah. So if we've got our own ad servers, you know, especially with the acquisition of Sonar, which is all about, you know, NLP, you know, and AI. So, you know, we can use text to or audio to text transcription to actually find out in a data sense what people are saying and talking about in a podcast, what the sentiment and context is. And we can add that as metadata to the file so that when an ad server is making a decision about what ad am I going to serve here, they've got all that historic data that all ad servers have got, you know, where you've been, what you've bought, what you've looked at, blah, blah, blah. But now we actually know, or we will know, what you're going to be listening to in real time and what the sentiment and context is of that content. So it means the ad server can make super smart decisions about what advertising to pick. We can target better. And then hopefully the engagement rate goes up even further. And with growing engagement rates, you get better CPMs. So building our own ad servers, and Sonar is a step towards that, that process, is huge for us moving forward.
Yeah, yeah. And do you think that it'll be fully complete this year, or will it take longer than that to implement all these changes?
No, I mean, again, on all of our budgeting and our forecasts and all of that good stuff, we don't have the ad server rolling out fully until Q1 18. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, there are different modules within that, within the build, and we'll be utilizing some of those as we go through the year. And again, we've not built in, you know, any of that extra cost saving or any of that other good stuff or increasing CPMs into our modeling. So again, we're being ultra conservative, and, you know, hopefully there'll be a new note out at some point soon, which will, you know, detail what we're looking at in terms of revenues and EBITDA for this year and next. And that's still working on the basis of our existing ad serving partner. So any of the savings, any of the increased CPMs, any of the increased reliability should actually be incremental to what we've been modeling at this point.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I'm talking about cost and revenue. You have had previous guidance out in RNS, and you're saying hoping to exceed 1.3 million in revenue, and I know you're focusing on costs. Is that still all in line?
Oh, yeah, well, the 1.3 obviously was for last year. I think we were very accurate on that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've not seen final figures out of our auditors at the moment, but I don't think there'll be any change in that as it goes through. Cost saving is obviously key, you know, because we're an AIM-listed company. So, you know, we have and we continue to reduce headcount in the UK. Some of that is savings. Some of it we reposition to the US operations. We've just taken on more people in our commercial department in the US because, you know, commercially, you know, there's an amazing opportunity there. So, and I've obviously already highlighted our cost saving in bandwidth and ad serving as well. So, yeah, we're controlling costs. We're doing what we need to do there. But really, it's about growing revenues as well as cost savings. So hopefully we have both of those going on at the same time.
Yeah, and I know you're very active there in the US and getting some traction there. What are other parts of the world? Because I know you're all over. I mean, in India, in Australia, and are there any other areas of the world that are quite exciting at the moment?
Well, I mean, we are absolutely focused on those areas that you've just mentioned. You know, we're seeing great opportunity in, you know, France, Germany right now, where there really are no platforms like ours. Podcasting is a growing market over there, and we're looking at partners like Spotify and Deezer maybe to help us move into those markets. Again, you know, on our modelling, we haven't put any revenue down or indeed any cost into those countries at the moment. You know, if we can do it organically out of the UK and manage almost at arm's length, but start to move those forward, I think that's something we have to look at probably through Q3 and Q4 this year. But, you know, I think as some of the RNS has already said, you know, we've already got distribution, you know, with guys like Pandora and Spotify and all of that. So we're seeing our listens grow all around the world at the moment, mm-hmm. and that's good. But again, AIM-listed company, it's, you know, we have been, and you could say all digital companies should be focused on land grab and user growth and listen growth and KPI and blocking out the market. And we try and do that as much as we can, but it's tempered directly against immediate commercialization of what we've got. So, you know, we're always kind of sitting on the seesaw of, you know, is it commercial first or is it, you know, market first? And I think certainly over the last 9 months, we've been all commercial first. I can't see that model changing, certainly for the next year. We're all commercial first. So that means really getting Australia running in terms of media sales. They are coming through now. It's getting India up to speed with better distribution, so we've got more inventory to sell. But really, it's about exploiting the US more fully at this point, and also, you know, really taking advantage of the exploding podcast market in the UK, but with particular reference to the media agencies. Their response to us now, where we're going and meet them, and the opportunity around podcasting is tremendous. So for us, it's, you know, bring on the right content that they want to buy, make more of our own content that they want to buy. Let's start taking more and more of those, you know, ad pounds directly onto our platform. Our ad server will help that. You know, we're doing big integrations across the board with agencies, some direct to brand, and obviously with some of our network partners as well. So, yeah, it's a combination of all of those things, like every business does. And, you know, you got to do it all at the same time, and you should have done it yesterday.
Yeah, well, are you seeing a sort of, you know, like you said there, you know, media agencies now in the UK are starting to stand up, take notice, and realise how powerful, you know, and how targeted podcast can be? Because I've noticed, you know, just doing research, that companies, I mean, there are more articles being published about podcasts than ever, I think. There's more research on it. And so they're starting to take it more seriously, aren't they?
They are. I mean, it's probably even more direct and grassroots than that. So we did a presentation the other day, and I won't name the agency, but we presented to 80 media planner buyers. And we started off the presentation by asking everybody in the room who listens to podcasts. And literally everybody put their hand up, everybody in the room. We then asked, and how many of you people that are all planner buyers have bought advertising in podcasting? Mm-hmm. Everybody put their hand down.
Yeah.
And at that moment, the penny drops for every media agency.
Yeah.
If all of these, you know, 22 to 35-year-olds sitting in this room listen to podcasts, why the hell haven't we bought the advertising in them? Because if we're doing it, sure as eggs exist, everybody else is listening to them as well. And that actually has been the seminal conversation in every agency, whether it's, you know, WPPs or Omnicoms and PhDs and Havas and Publicis and all of the guys we've been talking to for the last 3 years in the last 6 months have gone, oh, okay, yeah, no, I get it. And now we're seeing traction. I mean, if you listen to a number of our podcasts, you'd have heard, you know, just before and after Christmas, yeah, advertisers on our platform, the size and scale of Disney, UK government, HMRC, you know, big, clever, intelligent advertisers that are experienced with buying media in the marketplace and now coming to buy media from Audioboom.
So essentially, this will be translated into revenue, hopefully, for this year. Are you thinking this year if people will start to take more notice of Audioboom now because of this, you know, upgrade in revenue?
What, in terms of investors and the share price?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, hopefully. I mean, we know what we have to do. We've got numbers out there. I think we spoke about, you know, our yearly forecast that was put into market by Liberum. You know, we're certainly not backing away from that number. It's probably the, you know, the most politically correct way that I could state that. And that clearly requires media agencies on both sides of the pond to step up and buy the quality, the high quality inventory that we've got on the platform. But certainly looking at our pre-book revenues for the year and where we're going and how that's working, you know, we're comfortable with the numbers that are out in the market.
Marvellous. Rob, good to chat to you, and hopefully next time we speak will be just after you release your full year figures and I suppose a Q1 trading update. But in the meantime, Rob, as always, if someone's not following you on Vox Markets, give them three reasons why they should hit that follow button, please.
Podcasting's exploding around the world, but in the UK, the US, you know, it's undeniable at this point. I think the take-up at agencies now is at a tipping point. That's only going to grow, especially as the audiences grow. I don't think there's going to be any doubt about that whatsoever. And I think Audio Boom has put in the hard yards over the last 2 or 3 years to make sure that we're actually and totally in the right position to take advantage of this explosion. You know, I've been saying for years that this was coming. I think there's almost an investment fatigue around Audio Boom in the market, which I understand. But everything that I've said over the last 2, 3, 4 years, you can see it's absolutely happening right now in the marketplace. So, you know, yes, we've got a lot of work to do. Yes, we need to go and execute on everything that's in the strategy. But everything that we've been saying for 3 or 4 years was, is, and will be the truth moving forward.
Marvellous. Rob, good to chat to you. Speak again soon, fella.
All right. Cheers, mate. Thank you, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Dave Reeves, Managing Director of Keras Resources. That's KRS ticker. Morning, Dave.
Good morning, Justin.
I say morning, but I don't know where you are at the moment. I think you're over there. What time is it there, Dave?
Late afternoon.
Oh, there we are. Okay.
Yes, good late afternoon.
Yeah, good late afternoon to you, sir. Yeah, so you've had a bit of news out today. We'll get to that in a bit, but I always like to do this at the start. For anyone not aware of what you do, Dave, at Keras, what's it all about there, please?
Yeah, Keras is predominantly focused on gold in Western Australia at our 100% Warrawinna Gold project up in the Pilbara of Western Australia. We've got a resource of just over 400,000 ounces, which is growing, as we'll discuss today. Mm-hmm. And we aim to bring that into development in the medium term.
And when you say medium term, what kind of time frame is that, Dave?
Look, we need to add further resources. We'd like to see this over 1 million ounces so we can build a decent-sized operation. Yeah. So to drill that out, do the feasibilities, realistically, to get to the end of a bankable is probably still a couple of years off.
Okay, all right. So the RNS is entitled Initial High-Grade Resource at Copenhagen Deposit in the Warrawinna Project. So take us through the details, the fine bits of this RNS, please, Dave, if you could.
Yeah, so this is a satellite resource to the main resource that we'd already defined. It's further along strike. Had some very limited historic drilling. We've done a few holes out there ourselves. And with that, we confirmed some of the historic intercepts, and we could put an initial resource around it. What we wanted to do was give people an indication of the grade that is associated with this part of the deposit. So to get 180,000 tonnes at 6 grams for 36,000 ounces for just 140 metres of strike length is pretty superb. It only goes down a maximum depth of 100 metres as well. And this deposit is open at depth and along strike and gives a feel for what sort of resources are out in this area.
Yeah, so people are listening right now and they're not aware of, you know, they like the sound of this RNS, but they're not quite sure of grades and whatever. So what would you describe as an average grade? What would you describe as a superb grade, Dave?
Well, average grade I would be putting for an open pit at anywhere from 1.5 to 2 grams. Lower grades, you can go anywhere down to 0.5. Quite a few operate around a gram. So for an open pit, anything above 3 grams would be considered high grade. And 6 grams obviously is well above that.
Yeah.
So this would be, you could mine underground on this very happily at 6 grams. That would be a good grade for underground, let alone open pit.
Excellent. And so the next steps here now, Dave, is what?
Well, I think looking at this area, I was actually up there just a few weeks ago walking the ground, and the exciting part to us is there's visible gold 300 metres in one direction. We've rock chipped 3 grams a tonne, 400 metres in another. We're out walking the ground, and you can just see this structure go through all of this outcrops. You can see the quartz veins. You can quite often see the gold. So, you know, we need to get out there and drill. Now, to do that, we need money. And to do that, we are listing on the ASX, and we will be putting an announcement out shortly on exactly how that's going to be structured, how much we're raising, and when that's going to occur. And that will show us fully funded to do a very large amount of drilling out there to add a substantial amount to our resource base.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say that, because obviously that's the other bit of news you've got there. You are listing on ASX, which is quite exciting there. And I just ask about the investors over there. I mean, in our space on AIM, they're very active, as you know, and very proactive as well. What is it like over in Australia there? Are they as active?
Oh, very much so. It is very buoyant, the market. You know, obviously key commodities. It's actually quite buoyant across all commodities. All commodities have seen good gains. But in particular, Australia's ASX is dominated by gold. So that's where you see a lot of the action taking place. There's obviously, you know, some of the battery minerals are doing very well at the moment, but also some of the steelmaking ingredients like iron ore and manganese have been doing very well. And we've also got our manganese project in Togo that is bubbling away in the background. And, you know, we hope that we'll be able to announce something on that at some stage soon.
Yeah. And you must be, you know, sort of a bit optimistic about the gold price now. It's coming back, isn't it? It did dip for a while. Now it seems to be coming back with a bit of strength there.
Yeah, for sure. Look, after the US presidential elections, it dipped, which, you know, I thought was quite bizarre and counterintuitive. I thought with Trump in, you would have seen the other way. But I think now that he's moved in and people are seeing how he is progressing with his presidency, that, you know, people are looking at safe havens as well, because it's quite a volatile world with him in charge. And, you know, gold has done very well on the back of that.
Yeah, it's above, it kind of dipped down to below, 11.30, I think it was, and now it's above 12.30. So it's rallied strongly, isn't it?
Yeah, it's rallied very strongly indeed. And then when you look at, you know, I was reading an article today on the Greek bailout and the next rescue package and what happens if it defaults. So, you know, there's still a lot of uncertainty in the world. Definitely. In many areas. And I think that's why you're seeing a lot of buying back into EDFs in gold. Which, you know, obviously brings the price up.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. All right, Dave. Well, listen, as you know, on Vox Markets, every day on the podcast, I do highlight the top 5 most followed companies. So if someone's not following you now, could you give them 3 reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page, please?
For sure. Gold company in a very safe haven in Western Australia, building a resource base with a target of over 1 million ounces. Soon to be fully funded via the ASX with a whole heap of news flow to follow.
Marvellous, Dave. Good to chat to you, and look forward to chatting to you again, probably maybe after you've listed. Who knows? Hopefully you will. Thanks very much, Dave. Speak soon.
Cheers, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now, back by popular demand. He was on Friday, first time ever, and he's so good. I thought, let's get him on every day. Twice a day, 3 times a day. It's Russ Mould, Investment Director at stockbroker AJ Bell. Thanks for coming back on, Russ.
It's a pleasure. Not at all. Only so happy to help.
Now, you're looking at 3 stocks with potential upside. So what's stock number 1, please, Russ? I was going to say Happy Valentine's Day, but I don't know if that's appropriate. But
It is. Yeah, well, I've also got the double whammy. My wife's birthday this week, so it's pockets out. So we'll try and get a few quid back. So the first one, I think, is for... deep, would be a sort of one to research that appeals to deep value hunters, albeit ones with a pretty high tolerance for risk. It's a stock called Parity. AIM quoted, it's really a micro cap.
Yeah.
Market cap's around, you know, £9 to £10 million at the moment. It's got a 5-year price chart that even a mother couldn't love. It really is pretty unpleasant stuff. On a 1-year view, there's a few more ups and downs, but you know, the chart might suggest it's stabilizing at low levels. But what you've got here is a turnaround story. You've had a company that's gone on a debt financed acquisition spree that's gone wrong. So you've got a weak balance sheet, thin margins, and a failed strategy. So that the investment case rests upon, in 2015, a new non-executive chairman, chief exec and chief financial officer came in. They've spent, you know, a year picking through the bits, trying to work out what to do, and they're focusing on more of the consulting part of the business rather than the recruitment side. I mean, you know, the recruitment side's got potential, but the consulting side is higher margin, and it's got a relatively stable customer base if things go well, because its core customer base is water utilities, coaching them, preparing them for deregulation, and there's going to be a lot of regulatory changes over the next 3 or 4 years as Ofwat potentially introduces competition in the water sector. It's got some defence and health customers in there as well. So they're looking to focus on the consulting side. What you've got is a company with just under £100 million of annual sales and a market cap of £10 million. Why? Well, thin margins is one, and the other is, as I mentioned, the failed debt-led acquisition strategy. So you've got a £6.5 million net debt figure plus a £1.5 million pension deficit. So the danger is that the balance sheet and the interest payments just smother any attempt that management are making to get the profits to start to turn around. Now, there is a non-core asset in there that they might sell, which I think will buy them some breathing space, but in the end, they need to get the margins up. A December trading statement read okay. It seemed perfectly satisfactory, so touch wood, the P&L starting to bottom out. But this is, you know, high-risk stuff because the balance sheet is weak, and I think anybody who is of a value tilt might be interested, but you'd probably need to think about a stop loss in there just in case, you know, the balance sheet does smother the story completely.
Yeah, well, when you sent the list of three stocks to me, I looked at this. I'd never heard of it, and I do sort of, reside in the, you know, almost the micro-cap space.
Mm.
And I looked at the interims, and I thought, revenue, £47.5 million, then £9 million, and that's not bad. And they're making a small profit. What's the problem here? And I did look at the balance sheet. Oh, hang on, they've got a bit of debt there. But like you say, the trading statement was quite bullish recently, and they've got that they are tackling this issue. And that's why I went through the RNS, I had a list of RNSs, and directorate change, director shareholding. So the new director's coming on board, buying a bit of stock, and I sort of thought they are, you know, dealing with this problem head on. So I suppose it's not as if they're ignoring it and carrying on. It's not old guard, but it's new guard trying to turn this thing around, isn't it, really?
Correct, yeah, exactly. I mean, again, it's just whether they've got enough time. I mean, I think, you know, there isn't debt due immediately, but nevertheless, the interest payments on the pension deficit, or the pension fund contributions and the interest last year did chew up most of the operating profit, so interest cover's pretty thin. Things would get very tight if profitability began to dip again, therefore. So that's why you do need to see the improvement in margins, which is what they're working towards. I mean, if you take the earnings forecast at face value, it's on a P of about 8. Again, frankly, you think, well, jolly well it should be, because the margins are thin and the balance sheet's weak. Yeah. But it does show you, if they can start to pay down that debt, lower risk, higher earnings, higher multiple. So it could go very right very quickly, but equally, again, the debt could just sit there for a long time and just leave the stock in no man's land, and the shares would go nowhere. And if profits go down, heaven forbid, then things do look very dicey indeed. So it is one for value punters to research, but it is, with eyes wide open, potentially high return, but equally high risk because of the debts.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's definitely one for the watch list. If you know, if it's a bet on their strategy, isn't it? And if whether it pays off or not, essentially. So
basically,
cool. Yeah, so that's PTY, Parity Group. And the next one you're looking at is what, Russ?
Hurricane, one for sort of capital growth seekers, momentum seekers, but equally again, Hurricane Energy, it's going to be high risk as well as potentially high rewards. So again, this is not for widows and orphans. It's an oil explorer. It's not actually producing oil yet. It's not looking to do so till 2019. And when you've got a market cap of £650 million, as this one does, when it's generating no oil, no revenues, and just a small loss, clearly, if anything goes wrong with the exploration work, you have very little downside protection. So again, this is, you've got to go into this one eyes wide open, in the acknowledgement that they could knock the lights out. But equally, if there is a problem, then you're going to get very, very little downside protection off the stock.
Yeah, well, do you know, I've had the guys on Hurricane quite often, actually, and the CFO, Alistair Stobie, there.
Yeah.
And, I mean, pretty much their results, the resources they're finding are amazing. They've got about a billion barrels of resources there. And I think they're in talks now, farming talks, you know.
I think that's the really interesting catalyst for the stock. I mean, in the end, if there is... You know, some people say 500 to 650 million barrels. Some people, as you correctly say a billion. Mm. I mean, if that's there, even though they've very successfully raised £122 million in the last 12 months at 15p and then 34p, you know, they clearly aren't going to be able to do that on their own without needing a hell of a lot more cash than they've got now. Yeah. Either they come back to investors and raise another big dollop, or, as you say, they find a farm-out partner. And I think that is a potential trigger for the stock, catalyst-wise, in the next 6 to 12 months, beside the drilling work they're doing in the Shetlands at the Lincoln, Lancaster and Halifax fields. But yeah, it's a good point there on the farm. I think that's going to be key for the next 6 to 12 months potentially.
And as I always do, I ask for three reasons why someone should follow you or put you on their watch list. And one of the reasons was, as Alistair said, well, we got a lot of oil and we found more oil. And to be honest, if you look at their updates, it is a case of they're very positive at the moment. They seem the drilling seems to be very well, you know, positive updates all the time. Yeah. But like you say, with that comes a lot of cost, and it's all about getting that partner, I think.
The December and February set updates on the drilling looked very positive. I mean, Robert Trice, the chief executive officer, gave what read, you know, like a pretty bullish interview to the FT in January, where again he dropped that farm out hint. I mean, what's intriguing is, you know, the company's, you know, looking at fractured basement reservoirs. It's not a technology or an approach that's been proved in the UK or tried extensively, even though it seems to have been used successfully in Vietnam, Libya, and the Yemen. So there is enormous potential here, but equally, you know, if things do go wrong, or the company, you know, finds itself leading dollops and dollops of cash, I have no objection to giving companies, you know, money through rights issues or placing, so long as you obviously have faith in the strategy. Yeah. But you've got to be aware of the fact that you may get tapped for more dough if the farm out doesn't happen, or even if it does. But equally, the farm out would start to put some more concrete valuations on the finds, perhaps building a little bit of extra faith in the approach that they're using, the three fields that they've got, and that is a potential catalyst for this year, I would suspect.
Yeah, well, like you say, you know, huge potential, but with that comes obviously the risk, the reward there. Okay, and the last stock you're looking at, Russ, is what?
Well, we've gone from value, parity, momentum and capital return hurricane to a bit of steady old income with Manx Telecom, which is another AIM quoted, £220 million market cap, and as the name rather suggests, its main business is providing telecommunications to the Isle of Man, mm-hmm. where, you know, there isn't a huge amount of competition. It's regulated, yeah. But it provides fixed broadband, data, mobile services to the good people of the Isle of Man. It's got results coming up on the 15th of March, so keep your eyes peeled for those. But the real attraction here is you've got a solid, cash-generative business. It's not going to blow you away with sudden bursts of profit or revenue growth, but it does pay a dividend yield of around 5.5%. Dividend cover is about 1.3 times, which is fine for a company with a limited amount of debt, only a small pension deficit, plenty of cash flow. And I think that's the story. It's going to be one of those where, if an income investor is looking around for something that's not necessarily on the radar, this may be one to investigate. With that yield, you bank the yield and then either draw down, if that's what your investment strategy is, or you lean back in your chair, you get your dividend reinvestment plan running, and you let compounding work its magic for you.
Yeah, so one question I have, if they're just based in the Isle of Man, you know, and they're limited to that, where does the growth come from here?
Well, they have roaming agreements, is
okay.
One.
Okay.
They do have a sort of IT solutions business, which is two. And then they're rolling out high-speed broadband. They've now got 93% coverage on the island, and they're just starting to roll out 4G. So there's an angle of average revenue per user from their existing customer bases,
yeah.
Roaming agreements, anybody traveling there, anybody leaving there. And the global solutions business is a kind of a little bit of a bonus on the side. But I don't think it is going to grow that quickly, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But it is going to chuck out dollops of cash. The dividend yield looks pretty safe. It's got a market cap of 220 million sterling. It makes about £15 million a year. And I know at the moment bond proxies are out of favour. People are looking away, thinking, oh, well, dividend, you know, bond yields are going to go up. That's going to put pressure on these income stocks. We want to be in sexy cyclicals. But, you know, any portfolio could always do with a bit of a bed. You know, most portfolios could do with a bedrock of something a little bit solid just in case. And particularly if you're an income hunter, this one might be a little bit off the radar and worth doing some further research on.
Marvellous, Russ. Three stocks there with definitely worth putting on your watch list there. That's a parity, PTY. We had Hurricane, HUR, and, of course, Manx there. And ticker for that, of course, is MANX. Thanks very much, Russ. Speak next week.
Absolute pleasure. I look forward to it. Take care, Justin.
OK, it's time for today's suggested one for your watch list. It is Anglesey Mining, submitted by KF5000. What does the company do? Developing a copper zinc lead mine in Parry's Mountain, Anglesey, in Welsh Wales. Oh, I know that. I've never been to Anglesey, though. A little island at the top there. What's current share price, market cap, and shares an issue? So share price is 5.75 pence, market cap 9.9 million, shares an issue 172 million. And what revenue and profit loss does the company generate? No revenues, and they're in the interims for 6 months ended 30th of September. That's September, easy for me to say. They made a loss of £124,000. How much cash or debt does the company have? On the 30th of November, they raised £310,200 via a placing at 2.585 pence. The proceeds of the placement will be used for the project development of Anglesey's 100% owned Paris Mountain Zinc Copper Lead Deposit and for general working capital. And in the interim 6 months, ended 30th September, they had £40,000 cash in the bank. Long-term loans in their non-current liabilities are listed at £3.3 million. They've got a small debt facility provided by a major shareholder. From memory, 1 year from when they raise sufficient alternative funding, the provider can call this debt in. So do your own research on that, please. List three reasons why this someone should put this company on their watch list. Number one, metals in ground value worth over £1 billion, with first zone to be mined being zinc rich. Wow, really? Reason two, mine ready and permitted in safe jurisdiction. PFS is imminent. And reason three, industrial metals are on a massive bull run, and that's what this project is all about. So that's Anglesey Mining, AYM. Do your own research, please, and thank you very much. By the way, if you know of a stock that you think should be on other people's watch lists, then please submit it via the blog here at voxmarkets.co.uk/blog. Scroll down, you see a question there. Say, do you know of a stock that you think should be on people's watch lists? Then click here and fill in the form, and I could be featuring on a future podcast. Thanks very much. Okay, top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours are: at five, Arse, Asia Met Resources. At four, Amu Minerals, AMC. At three, Ascent Resources, AST. Of course, Colin was on the podcast yesterday. And number two, it's the People's Operator, Depop. Depop. I'll do some research on this company, Depop. It's worth doing, I think. I do hold stock in the company, so you may say I'm being biased, but I would say, you know, do some research. I don't invest in companies for a short-term punt. I generally go for a longer-term, medium-longer-term. So check them out, Depop, the People's Operator. And number one most followed company on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours are URU Metals. Ticker, URU. All right, top five most liked RNSs in the last 24 hours is Prospects Oil and Gas at five, PXOG, new corporate website. Nice, guys, slick. Yeah, it does look quite slick. Nice. Check it out. At four, Sylvania Platinum. I always have a problem saying that together. Sylvania Platinum. It's actually Sylvania Platinum Limited, SLP, interim results. At three, Ascent Resources, director and shareholding, PDMR shareholding. At two, URU Metals, director, PDMR transactions. And at one, URU Metals placing, done as a premium yesterday, I think 16% premium to the current price, and or more than that actually, because the stock price rose by 50%. So I think it was obviously a 60% premium, not 16. John Zorbas there. All right, that's it for the podcast. Thanks very much for listening, and like I said, please do get involved if you know of a stock that you think should be on other people's watch lists. And in the meantime, thanks for listening. Muchus. Appreciators.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.